gospel lesson assigned for this day is from the Gospel of John, and it's a long assignment. I'm going to read selections of it from the 9th chapter of John, beginning with the first verse. Now, my friends, let us listen for God's word to us. As he walked along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, Jesus spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." Then the man went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it was someone like him." The man said, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "How were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "A man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' And then I went and washed and received my sight." And then later in the chapter, Jesus and the man he has healed are speaking. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do not see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." Now, my friends, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God lives forever. This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Oh, good and gracious God, be with us now as we read, study, and in this troubled time, seek to follow this portion of your holy word. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Perhaps some of you will own up to having been in a bar, not on a Sunday morning, surely, but on another occasion, in which someone raised a glass and said, "Here's mud in your eye." Oh, no, no, none of you have any of that experience, of course not. But I've heard tell of it. It's a generic toast now. But that toast comes from this story in the Bible. Here's mud in your eye. Here's a cure for what ails you. That's the meaning of that toast. So on this fourth Sunday in Lent, by this strange and peculiar technology, I confess I have never, ever preached with my bunny slippers on before. In this strange technology, in this fourth Sunday of Lent, we have this long and rather complex story of Jesus. And we are asking God, what are you saying to us today? What are you saying in these exigent circumstances in the midst of a pandemic? Well, We know that this text comes late in Jesus' ministry. He is in the Galilee, making his way slowly toward Jerusalem, just as we are on our Lenten journey. They're the closing days of his ministry, and now wherever he goes, two kinds of people confront him. The Pharisees, who have begun to taunt him at every turn, and new and different followers outside his ordinary circle are beginning to approach him, like the woman at the well we talked about last week, and now this man, a beggar, blind from birth. It's the Sabbath, and Jesus is in town. The disciples, seeing this man blind from birth, ask Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents? In the ancient Near East, it was common to believe if you were afflicted by sickness or by sorrow, it was retribution for some sin. So it's a natural question. Ultimately, Jesus heals the man. Alarmed, the Pharisees begin an investigation, and I skipped that part of the chapter, but you have the text there, and I hope you will turn to it and have a look. They interrogate the parents and the community people to try to find out how this man became blind and how he was healed. At the end of the chapter, Jesus and the man are talking, and Jesus says, I have come to heal the blind. So what are we to make of this? On a day when we can't even see each other except electronically, how are we to see the meaning in this passage? Well, in reflecting on it, I think that there are probably three things we might draw from this story. Coming upon this blind man, the disciples are asking who sinned. Well, you might laugh and say, well, when someone's born blind, it's not a matter of sin. That's a modern notion about cause of ailments. They had a different notion that maybe it was sin that had cursed this child in the womb, or maybe it was the sin of his parents. And we can scoff at that, but have you not asked in recent days, why is this happening? How can God allow this to happen? How can a pandemic lock up millions of people, be the cause of death of tens or even hundreds of thousands, render us all less than we were a week ago? Anxious, fearful, remanded to our homes, concerned about loved ones at distant places, or worried about income? They're fair questions, but they're a lot like, what made this man blind? Well, Jesus' answer to his disciples is very interesting. He, in essence, says to them, don't ask about who sinned to cause this man to be blind. Don't ask, why is this happening? Ask instead, what good can come out of this tragedy? Ask instead, how might God be glorified even in this moment? That's the question Jesus puts before his disciples. That's the question Jesus puts before you and me. Now, the second point that I want to raise is similar to it, because you notice this is a different healing than any healing we read about in Scripture. Very often, when someone comes to Jesus with a sick child or sick themselves, he simply heals them. In this case, There's a rather gruesome detail of him spitting and making mud. I'm glad we've moved past that in eye care in modern America. But there's this rather gruesome detail. But did you notice Jesus said he put the paste on the man's eyes and then he said, you go to Siloam and rinse off and then you will see. And the man does. Jesus commands the man to be an agent, a helpmate in his own healing. And I believe in this moment, Jesus calls you and me to also be helpmates in our own healing. Now, it's a wonderful story. How are you to help when you can't go outside the bounds of your home? Well, there's a wonderful story about a circus. You see, there was a circus in which the tiger trainer had five ferocious tigers, and he would come into a cage with just a tiny little chair and a whip, and he would crack the whip, not hitting the animals, but cracking the whip and shout commands. As his act progressed, the tigers all hit their move. People were riveted by the tiger's antics. And there was a terrible pop, and the circus went dark. The crowd gasped. The tiger trainer hit at the panic button inside himself and thought, I know these tigers, they can see me. Their night vision is so good, they can see me in every detail, but I can't see them. If I make a false move in their anxiety, they will attack me. And then he calmed himself down and he realized the tigers didn't know he couldn't see. And so he just kept cracking the whip and giving commands. And the tigers remained calm and did their tricks until the lights came back on. There's a lesson in there for you and me. No, the lesson is not keep cracking the whip. That wasn't the lesson. The lesson is do what you have been trained to do. To say your prayers, to share generously, to be thoughtful of others, to reach out in every way you can. Ours are not hopeless times. They're troubled times, to be sure, but they are not hopeless times. A friend of mine told me a story. He was a Swiss Reformed pastor in Geneva, and he and a friend, also a rather sturdy French-speaking Reformed person, went to Lourdes. His friend was rather grumpy. He was a cynic, and he didn't want to go to Lourdes, you know, that place of great miracles of healing in God's name. And so he groused all the way to Lourdes. When they got to Lourdes, they saw the faithful crawling, walking on crutches, being led by seeing eye dogs in wheelchairs and in all circumstances, going into the grotto in search of healing. My friend's companion said to him, as the cynic that he was, look at that guy in the wheelchair over there. He's an double amputee. What's he think? That God is going to give him new legs? As it turned out, the man in the wheelchair was also French speaking. He wheeled around, looked the cynic in the eye. He said, no, I'm going to pray that God teaches me to live with grace without legs. In this moment, our healing, our wholeness, our wellness will take new forms. Our prayer is not make it all go away. Our prayer is help us to live the lives for which we were created in the midst of these exigent circumstances. So our first lesson is, don't ask who sinned, and for heaven's sakes, don't blame anybody else. Not the Chinese, not the Europeans, not the people on the crowded airplane, and not even the bat in Wuhan. These are the laws of nature. And this virus is upon us. And be agents of our own healing. And then it seems to me that there is finally a point to be made, that Jesus, in his conversation with the man, discloses who he is. The beggar, the man who has been healed, asks, "How was I healed?" And Jesus says, "It was my mission to bring sight to the blind." Perhaps we need to get over the literalism of the idea of sight. Fanny Crosby was a wonderful hymn writer. She was a New Yorker. You probably know her best through her hymn, Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. She was blind. But she could see. You remember her wonderful, wonderful hymn, Blessed Assurance, and many others. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching, a blind person, watching and waiting. Looking above, filled with his goodness. And lost in his love. There is redemption even from a pandemic. It might not go the way we think it will go, but God is present. And we, in faithfulness to that God, must give witness to hope. Helen Keller, who also was blind, is reputed to have said, someone said to her, "It's a pity that you can't see." Helen Keller responded, "It's a greater pity to have sight and yet not see." So my friends, even from the enclosure of your homes, look for goodness this week. Look for hope. Share hope. Be an agent in our own healing. Even now, let us see, that is, understand what Jesus means to blind beggars, to those sick with the virus, to you and to me. Let us see anew what Jesus means. To that end, my friends, here's mud in your eye. Amen.